Janet McAllister joins us for a kōrero from the Child Poverty Action Group, where she's involved with comms and research. The latest jump in weekly benefit numbers is the highest since the first lockdown. Janet says that New Zealanders want to know that we're all looking out for each other, but unlike last year, the government's not offering any lockdown-related entitlements to families on benefits. Food grants in the week ending late August topped 40,000, more than double what they were at the same time last year, and food insecurity is caused by income insecurity, says Janet, who's with us now. Janet, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Thanks for having me on the show.
Desperate times, for people on benefits. They seem to be the forgotten sector here, and no doubt are the ones that are doing it toughest during this lockdown, Janet.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that lockdown affects people inequitably, so we're all trying to do our part as the team of 5 million. But for some people, the challenges they're facing due to lockdown are more than other people. And I think that a lot of people in comfy bubbles can kind of forget that. But we know from our research that last year was really tough for a lot of whānau and families. So chronic school absences were up for people in low-income areas. Chronic loneliness, particularly for sole parent whānau. And childhood immunisations were down, particularly for those in low-income areas. So the list goes on, and it's a real worry that last year the government acknowledged that lockdown is tough for people on fixed low incomes. So, you know, if you're just struggling to make ends meet, then high unexpected bills can be a real slap in the face. And we know that lockdown means that it's more expensive to buy food, particularly if your kids have been having meals in schools and, you know, that they're no longer having that. So, you know, that's an unexpected bill. You need data and credit and to go online to keep your kids connected and engaged with school. That's something that people aren't necessarily expecting. So we think that the government really should have prepared. They knew that we could potentially have another lockdown. And last year we saw, for example, the doubling of the winter energy payment. People don't have that this year. So it's a real concern that for some of us, lockdown is now a bit business as usual. It's a bit routine. But for large numbers of families and whānau out there, it's a real struggle. And we need the government to reassure all of us that people have adequate income support to be able to deal with that.
The gulf between rich and poor seems to be widening in our society, sadly, Janet. And when we think of the big families that are prevalent in particularly the south side here, our Māori and Pacifica whānau, must be, you know, doubly tough because they can't work. Middle class New Zealand can take their laptops back and start working on their kitchen tables, but for those who are in the building trade or factory work and the like, they are at home. We have many schools that are providing lunches as well, whereas that's not available to mums and dads, and so all the kids are at home hungry as and raiding the fridge constantly. But very little support. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. Unfortunately, the weekly MSD reporting, which is what we're talking about, doesn't break things down by ethnicity. But we know from last year that it did hit Māori and Pacific communities hardest in terms of the taking away of paid employment. So there's no reason to expect it will be any different this time around. I know the Human Rights Commission is doing a webinar tomorrow evening about the pay equity gap. So the pay gap, particularly for Pacific people, but also for Māori people. And so even for those people who are working often for those communities on that community level, there's less income in the communities. So I really also want to point out that food banks are only part of the solution, that they're really communities trying to pick up the pieces of government failure. And the reason for that is that families are in the best position to decide what's needed for their families. Parents and caregivers, you know, can make the best decisions for their children. But if you're giving people food, then they don't get to make that choice on what is best for their family and what their family will eat. Often it's not necessarily a good quality food. It's just a stopgap measure, but some people have to rely on it a lot. And also you can't pay your power bill with cans of baked beans. You know, people actually need that income. So for food banks, you know, I take my hat off to the communities for providing food, and they're doing a really important piece of work because government hasn't ensured that there is adequate income support for all our communities out there. I mean, that's not fair. And as you say, that's increasing the gap between rich and poor, which is just frankly appalling. Lockdown should not be an excuse to widen that gap. And I would have expected more from this government.
Well, compared to the start of the first lockdown, an additional 22,000 kids now in benefit receiving families. What does that say?
Well, what's concerning and about this particular statistic is that while up until now unemployment benefit numbers or job seeker numbers have been drifting down, from what we can tell, the number of children who are in benefit receiving families has continued to stay relatively high. This is a real concern. That means that there are a number of children who are in families who don't have enough because the government keeps income support under poverty lines. So we've seen some benefit increases this year, but they're a drop in the bucket. And for a number of families, they don't even make up for the loss of the winter energy payments doubling, while inflation has gone through the roof. We all know that rent's just gone astronomical. Food prices are really high and at record highs as well. And these things affect people on lower incomes more than they affect people on higher incomes. So there are a lot of families and whānau hurting out there, and we're worried about what effect that will have, particularly on children, because they're developing. So families who are under the toxic stress and caregivers and parents who are like, oh no, how do I pay the bills? They're really worried, and this can have an effect on their own well-being, and that has an effect on their children's well-being as well. What we want is for people to be flourishing and for those kids to be able to go and have fun and play, and for parents and caregivers to really enjoy their time with their kids. But it's much harder to do that if you're worried about how you're going to keep a roof over your heads, or how you're worried about even, you know, doing those extracurricular things like going to school camp or having sport. Those things can be out of reach too, and they're really important as well. So we, you know, what we'd like to see is the government to at least bring in the benefit increases they've promised next year and early to account for all those lockdown expenses. And that would be a finite expense for the government. So it seems to us to be the obvious response to at least alleviate some of the toxic stress of poverty that our communities are having to deal with because of lockdown.